Welcome on in to the second hour of the programme then. Owen and Ciarán Noble with you until 11 o'clock this morning. And it's time to open up our competition text lines then to celebrate National Heritage Week and the National Heritage Week Awards. We have an OPW Family Heritage Card to give away. That's free admission to more than 45 heritage sites around Ireland for 1 year. Monday's winner was Nuala Kearney in Kill. And Nuala, if you're listening, the voucher is here at reception, available to collect between 9 and 5 o'clock Monday to Friday, so you can call over and get that. And the rest of the vouchers are here as well. So our winner today and winner on Friday can also call over and collect it from us here in the M7 Business Park. Now, National Heritage Week this year is running from the 14th to the 22nd of August. Still plenty of time to get involved. Local heritage groups and organisers, families and communities are invited to develop projects around any aspect of heritage, built, cultural or natural. This year's Heritage Week is all about opening the door to heritage and getting as many people involved and engaged in heritage as possible. So to be in with a chance of winning that OPW Family Heritage Card this morning, free admission to more than 45 heritage sites around the country, text the word heritage, your name and where you're from. Send that off to 0833 97 97 97 on the text or the WhatsApp, and you can also get it to us on email, studio@kfmradio.com, and we will be announcing the winner just before we finish up at 11 o'clock on the programme this morning. Seeing as though the sun is shining, Katrina and the Waves on KFM. More great music right throughout the course of the day here on Kildare's KFM, just playing the very best of feel-good music. Now, moving on to a report that came to our attention yesterday. The HRB, the Health Research Board, reports a rise in cocaine and crack cocaine treatment. The latest figures from the HRB show continued growth in the number of cases seeking treatment for problem cocaine use, including crack cocaine, despite an overall drop in the numbers entering drug treatment. To discuss this further, I'm joined on the line by Dr. Anne-Marie Carew. She is a research officer with the Health Research Board. Dr. Carew, good morning to you. Welcome to the programme.
Good morning, Owen.
So this report is the National Drug Treatment Reporting System 2014 to 2020 drug treatment data. As I mentioned there in the outset, there is a growth in the number of cases seeking treatment for problem cocaine use, but on the flip side, there is an overall drop in the numbers entering drug treatment.
That's right, Owen. So this report from the Health Research Board looks at drug treatment figures in Ireland over the last 7 years, from 2014 through to last year. And it shows us that almost 69,000 cases were treated for problem drug use in Ireland during this time. Our key finding is that the number of cocaine cases continues to increase. We are seeing that cocaine is a primary issue for 1 in 4 cases treated last year. And we have seen a threefold increase in cocaine figures over the last 7 years. In the last 2 years alone, we've seen cocaine overtaking cannabis, and now cocaine is the second most common drug following opioids that people receive treatment for. And as you said there, last year we saw an overall drop in the number of cases entering drug treatment, and this can be attributed mainly to temporary service closures and other measures that were introduced to comply with COVID-19 restrictions. However, despite this, cocaine is the only substance where we saw an increase in the numbers entering treatment.
Yeah, a total of 2,619 cases were treated for problem cocaine use in 2020, three times the number of cases reported back in 2014. That was 853 cases. Now, one thing that stood out to me from these findings and trends on cocaine, Dr. Carew, cocaine was more common than alcohol and benzodiazepines as an addiction problem.
That's correct. So the number of cocaine cases is continuing to increase, and this is highlighting a changing pattern in drug use over the last number of years. So we're seeing a consistent rise in treatment figures for cocaine, as you said, since 2014. We saw the biggest increase in 2017, 2018, and then further increases more recently in 2019 and 2020. What we do know is there has been increased cocaine use in the population from the likes of surveys, reports from service providers, through seizures and other reports in the media. So it's not really surprising that we are seeing more cases coming into treatment.
Do we have a breakdown in terms of gender, who's using cocaine more frequently, and age cohorts?
Yes, we do. So there's different types of cocaine, and I suppose it's important that we understand the different types and the different profiles of users. So the most common form of cocaine that we see in Ireland is powder cocaine, more commonly known as coke. We also see crack cocaine. It's far less common than the powder cocaine, but it is the other main type that we see. Crack cocaine accounted for approximately 16% of all cocaine treatments in Ireland last year. And as you said, we've seen an increase in that year on year from a relatively low base starting out in 2014. But we have seen an almost 400% increase in crack cocaine figures. When we look then at the distinctions between the two types of cocaine, there are notable distinctions between powder cocaine and those that use crack cocaine. So in general, those that are seeking treatment for powder cocaine tend to be males, age 30 and paid employment, and they're often using alcohol as an additional drug. Then in terms of crack cocaine cases, they are would tend to be unemployed or to be homeless. They're typically older, and we're also seeing higher rates of women. When we looked a little bit more deeply into the gender differences in cocaine treatment, we've seen that the rate of male cases entering treatment for crack cocaine use has remained relatively stable year on year. So about 1 in 10 cocaine treatment entrants are men for crack cocaine. However, when we look at the same figures for women, we're finding that there has been an increase of almost 80% since 2018 among women. And last year, in terms of cocaine treatments, 3 out of 10 cocaine treatments among women were for crack cocaine.
And a note as well, because I went through this report yesterday in detail. It's a very extensive report, and people can check it out online on the HRB's website. But for the first time, this is the first data that you have, or the first time that you've reported on data on parents in drug treatment.
That's right, Owen. So drug use can impact children and can impact on families. And it's important that we understand this with a wider context of the impact of drugs. So this, as you said, is the first time that we've reported data on parents in treatment. And last year, approximately 1 in 10 cases that were entering treatment for problem drug use had children aged 17 years or younger living with them at home. We also saw that approximately 1 in 4 also had children under the age of 18, but those children didn't reside with them. So it's important that we monitor these emerging trends in drug use and treatment in Ireland, and the Health Research Board has a pivotal role in terms of informing evidence-based approaches that can help to reduce harm and support recovery among people that seek treatment for drug use and also their families.
And if we take a look then at the extensive report and the wider reporting that you did, because we focused on cocaine and crack cocaine, but generally there is a 9% decrease from 10,664 in 2019 down to 9,702 cases treated for drug problems in general in 2020. So it is good statistics there to see a decrease.
Well, in terms of the decrease that we're seeing, the overall drop of approximately 9%, we think that that can be mainly attributed to those service closures and measures that were introduced to comply with the COVID-19 restrictions. So it's not necessarily a reflection of the demand or a change in the demand for treatment, but it is very positive that people are coming forward and seeking help.
And if we look then at some of the other drug uses then by people, polydrug, just explain to us there what polydrug use means.
So polydrug use is where more than one drug is used, or a person presents to treatment with problem use of more than one drug. And what we found is that more than half of cases reported the use of more than one drug. And this figure has remained relatively high over the last 7 years. We're seeing in the figures that cannabis was the most common additional problem last year, and this was followed then by cocaine, benzodiazepines and alcohol. For the first time, cocaine was more common than alcohol and benzodiazepines as an additional problem among those cases that are reporting polydrug use. However, the fact that people are seeking help is very encouraging, and a downward trend in polydrug cases is also positive, because mixing drugs can increase the risk of having an overdose or can impact on the person's recovery, making their treatment journey or the recovery more difficult.
Well, it's all part of the National Drug Treatment Reporting System 2014 to 2020 drug treatment data by the Health Research Board, available on their website for further reading. And taking us through some of the findings there, Research Officer with the HRB, Dr. Anne-Marie Carew. Dr. Carew, many thanks for that.
Thanks, Owen.
And good morning to you. Keep your messages coming in to us this morning for our competition to celebrate National Heritage Week and the National Heritage Week Awards. We have an OPW Family Heritage Card to give away, with free admission to more than 45 heritage sites all around the country for 1 year. And all you have to do to be in with a chance of winning is text the word heritage, your name and where you're from, to 0833 97 97 97. That's on the text or WhatsApp. Now, just looking across some of the online editions of the morning newspapers, and first of all, the Irish Examiner reporting that founder of the Progressive Democrats, Des O'Malley, has died. He's passed away at the age of 82. Mr. O'Malley was the first elected to the Dáil in 1968. He was returned as a TD for Limerick in 11 successive elections. In 1985, he founded the Progressive Democrats, which he led into a coalition government within 4 years of its foundation. Couple of other newspapers and online sites reporting that as well. If we have more information, we will bring it to you on the programme this morning between now and 11 o'clock. But that is news that we're just getting, that Des O'Malley, founder of the Progressive Democrats, has passed away at the age of 82. Kira.
Yes, so we are now going to be speaking with the Chief Fire Officer for Kildare Fire Service, Ben Woodhouse. Good morning, Ben.
Morning, Kira. How are you?
Good, good, thank you. Ben, I guess just to begin the interview this morning, do you want to let our listeners know about a general fire safety message you have to ensure everybody stays safe?
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt, it's important just to make everybody aware that obviously due to the very warm, lovely weather we're getting and very dry spells with low moisture and precipitation, it's meant that a lot of combustibles out there, so the forestry, the woods, the gorse, the bogland areas are all very dry, and obviously due to that, that's the potential for fire is very high at the moment. So we're currently under a national orange fire warning, which is the second highest, just below red, from the Department of Agriculture, Food and Marine. So to make everybody aware of that, and while everybody's outside enjoying the outdoors and the sun and meeting up and socialising safely outdoors after the long period of time we've been under, just to be vigilant and careful of fire. So some basic fire safety tips would be, obviously, no lighting of barbecues or open fires in open land or woodland. To be very careful with extinguishing smoke materials, so not to throw cigarettes out of a vehicle window. To extinguish them properly is another example. And just be very careful of what people's activities are outside in relation to fire.
Ben, we know the Air Corps was the Air Corps helicopter was assisting the Dublin Fire Brigade on Howth Head as they were battling gorse fires there. Are any of these fires started by man, or is it all just purely due to the hot weather?
Human activity inevitably is a cause, whether it's intentional or not, with regard to open fires in these conditions. So that could be, unfortunately, we still have people that dump rubbish in remote locations and set fire to it. We have people who are burning waste from lands, and then we do have malicious ignition of materials. And then we also have inadvertent ones, the ones like I mentioned there, of a cigarette. It might not be intentional to cause destruction to the lands, but that can cause fires. And then in the increased heat that we've got and the direct sunlight, another example would be people who have discarded glass bottles from their vehicles or as they're moving around these open areas. Again, sunlight can be magnified through that and cause ignition to some dry fuel area, which would be the grass and the gorse and the things I mentioned there. And then we have vehicles as well driving onto areas to park up, hot catalytic converters and exhausts, and from quads and motocross bikes can also cause ignition sources. So yeah, human activity inevitably can be a cause.
Ben, just concentrating on County Kildare, we know this time of year that last year in Dunedee there was some gorse fires in the area. What has the county been experiencing so far during the hot weather?
I'm glad to report it's been quieter than we might have expected with regard to the weather we're experiencing at the moment. So I suppose I'd like to thank you, the listeners and the public, for being careful when they're out and about. So we haven't had anything extensive like other areas of the country experienced, or what we indeed experienced shortly after Easter a couple of years ago with the air corps coming into assist us in Timahoe and the areas around that part of the county. So we've had a few field fires and a few grass fires which have been dealt with very quickly by a single fire engine from one of our fire stations, but we haven't had anything extensive. So far so good for ourselves, but again, that's down to the public being careful as well. So we appreciate their cooperation on that behalf.
Now, Ben, you are recruiting in both Athy and Monasterevin. How can people get in touch with yourselves at the fire service?
Yeah, so look, we've had another great, exciting opportunity for somebody to become one of our firefighters, and we're recruiting for the Athy and the Monasterevin fire stations at the moment. So I ask anybody who's interested to follow and look at our Facebook page. We've put a lot of work and effort into some promotional videos to show what the job entails as a firefighter and what is entailed in the training, and for people to have a look at there. We've currently got a post up where there's a link for people to click onto, and that'll take you to Kildare County Council's website. So that's kildarecoco.ie, and the recruitment section is the link to our application forms and the conditions for and particulars for the role. So people can fill out the application forms, and then they have to email it to jobs@kildarecoco.ie. So that's it. Time Monasterevin Fire Stations, we're looking to recruit new firefighters there.
Well, Ben, I don't think it's said enough. We greatly appreciate what the fire service does here in County Kildare and obviously across the country. So thank you for all your work. And as Ben mentioned, there is a recruitment drive in both Athy and Monasterevin, and you can go on to Kildare County Council's website for more information about applying. Ben Woodhouse, Chief Fire Officer of Kildare Fire Service. Thank you. And back to you, Owen.
Yeah, great advice there from Ben. And thanks indeed for joining us on the programme this morning. And safety of a different nature now, but always very important, is Farm Safety Week. It started off on Monday. It runs until this Friday. And the message for this year is Rethink Safety, which aims to encourage a deeper awareness of everyday risks on farms and the practical steps needed to reduce the risk. To discuss this further, Kildare West Wicklow IFA Chairman is Thomas O'Connor, and he joins us on the programme once again. Thomas, good morning.
Good morning, Owen, and thanks for letting me back on the show.
No problem at all. So just run through then, like I said, the message this year is Rethink Safety. What is the IFA doing and other associations doing for Farm Safety Week this year?
So this is the 9th annual Farm Safety Week in Ireland, and we're also linked up with the Yellow Wellies in the UK. So this year's theme, as you said, is Rethink Safety. And we're just encouraging farmers to take those few minutes every morning before they go and do their day's work, just to take out, just to list what might be hazards or those little bits of equipment or practices that need to be changed, just to make a little bit more safe around the farmyard.
And I had a look at the Farm Safety Week testimonial video from farm accident survivor Eileen O'Driscoll. She's from West Cork, and the impact it had on her life. And I believe people can check that out online. But it is something that every time we hear of a farm accident, it really strikes a chord with people here in Ireland, and it's truly devastating.
Well, Irish people have such a connection. We're only ever one generation from a farm, the way Irish agriculture is in this country. And those videos that are online at the moment, it's absolutely harrowing. Some of the disasters that are stricken on farm families, and like the unfortunate thing, it's normally a simple thing that goes wrong, and farmers generally, unfortunately, look, I'm a farmer myself, and some simple little things that we get complacent with, and when those things go against you, how a simple thing can turn into such a bad situation. And that's what we're just trying to encourage farmers at the moment. Just if you know, if you have a cow that's maybe a little bit too wicked at calving, or if you have a handbrake that's a bit loose on the tractor, now's the time to go and sort those situations out before it turns into something bigger. And that's just, look, that simple theme of rethink safety, take your couple of minutes, and just do a scrutiny of your farm, of the hazards that are on your farm, and try and do something about them. You know, there's lots of advice out there. IFA are always available there for any advice we can give. We can run workshops within the county. If farmers are willing, we can get someone from the health and safety to come out, and we can do a workshop with you on farm, and we can talk through points. And sometimes, Owen, it's not until you go onto someone else's farm and see their hazards that you go back onto your own and you realise, Jeannie, I'm at the same thing myself.
Mm.
So, you know, communicating among the farmers as well is another thing that we strongly encourage this week.
You mentioned a word there, Thomas, and I think it really is the key word, complacency. And look, there's farmers out there who have been on the farm literally since they were born, and they've been doing it for 50, 60, 70 years, and they get complacent because it's the same thing day in, day out. They know the routine, but sometimes something so small can go wrong and it can be detrimental.
100% Owen, like, farming by itself, the way it's changed it's nearly a solitary job. And at certain times of year, you take at the moment, like, there's second cut silage going on, there's harvesting of grain, and all of a sudden, instead of you being on your own farm on your own every day, you have maybe four or five different people coming in and out, and that's normally where things might go wrong. And this is what we're saying: you need to think outside the box and think of the overall picture. No one judges it. Farmers don't judge other farmers by if there's a PTO cover broken or something like that. We have much better respect if you go and fix it. And like, there's even an initiative there now going on with the local co-ops on farm PPE gear and farm safety gear. There's a discount on them for this week. And that's a great initiative that I'd encourage all farmers to take advantage of for the week.
Absolutely. Sound advice. That's Thomas O'Connor, Kildare and West Wicklow IFA chairman on Farm Safety Week, which is running until Friday. You can get more details on the IFA website. That's www.ifa.ie. Just to give you a little bit of background information as well regarding Farm Safety Week. The Farm Safety Foundation initiated the Safety Week. It's led by the IFA in Ireland, aiming to reduce the number of accidents on farms and bring about a culture of farm safety. Yellow Wellies UK started Farm Safety Week back in 2013. It's grown to include England, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, five nations with a single purpose: to reduce death and severe injuries in agriculture as well. Right, let's go to Ciara then in Studio 2 to look at an issue from a listener, or a query from a listener, Ciara.
Yes, so I'm joined now by Tom Donoher, he is a listener in Naas. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Tom, thank you for joining us. You were on the phone to me yesterday. You had a bit of an issue in terms of your dentist. Tell us your story and what happened.
Well, last week I lost a filling for my tooth. And I went to the dentist that I was registered with, and the girl on reception said, "Oh, I'm sorry, he's no longer accepting medical cards." Well, I'd never been informed about this. So I said, "Well, it's an emergency, so for this particular one, I'm willing to pay." So she said, "Okay." So she had a look on the dentist and said, "He has no vacancies until next week. Can you take one of his other dentist?" So I said, "Yes, the dentist is dentist." So I got the filling anyhow, and when I came out to reception, said that that would be €100, please. So €100 for a filling. So the next day I rang the HSC and asked them about the medical card, and they sent me out a list of DYSS, which is all registered dentists. So I rang every dentist on it in Naas, and there's no dentist in Naas who will accept a medical card.
So, Tom, you're not the first person who's gotten in contact with the station about this issue. Over the past few months, we have had the Irish Dental Association on about the issue. And I did yesterday, after you told me your story. You noted yourself, you're a pensioner, and obviously €100 out of your weekly pension is a huge lump sum. And usually, obviously, you'd be paying or using the medical card. So I got in contact with the HSE and the Irish Dental Association. Unfortunately, I have yet to receive a response from the HSE, but of course, we will note it whenever they do get in contact with us. But I did receive a response from the Irish Dental Association and the Chief Executive, Fintan Hourihan, who's been on many times before to talk about DTSS that you're mentioning there, Tom, the Dental Treatment Services Scheme. So I'll just read out the IDA's response. They said the HSE holds the responsibility to ensure that eligible medical card patients receive dental treatments covered by the Dental Treatment Services Scheme, DTSS. The HSE provides contracts to private dentists to provide dental care to medical card patients. However, in recent times, many dentists in County Kildare and across the country have opted to leave the scheme, and this has left patients in great difficulty in arranging dental treatment locally. Where a treatment plan is to be completed or where an appointment has been agreed with the dentist, then the patient should still be seen by a dentist where the dentist is working out their 3 months' notice of resignation to the HSE. However, where no prior appointment has been made, then the dentist who is working out notice will not offer an appointment under the terms of the medical card scheme. Of course, both the patient and the dentist can agree a private appointment in such circumstances. If the patient prefers, this is as an alternative to seeking another dentist who is still participating in the medical card scheme. Where the patient cannot arrange an appointment with the dentist in their locality who holds a contract to provide dental care, the patient should contact the local HSE principal dental surgeon who should be asked to provide details of dentists participating in the DTS medical card scheme within the locality. The scheme operates on a choice of dentist basis so that any dentist holding a contract can see an eligible patient. However, given the exodus of dentists from the scheme, this may mean that those dentists remaining in the scheme may not have the capacity to see all eligible patients, or they may operate waiting lists given priority to existing patients. As a final option, the HSE may arrange to treat adult medical card patients from within their own service, which usually cares for children and special care patients, but this is very problematic in most parts of the country as the HSE public dental service is grossly understaffed. Ultimately, an entirely new scheme for medical card patients is urgently required, which attracts sufficient dentists to provide dental care. And as I said, that is Fintan Hourihan, the Chief Executive Officer of the Irish Dental Association. And Tom, as you rightly noted to me yesterday, dental hygiene and dental work that's needed in treatment tends to be needed immediately. People can be in great pain, and you were mentioning something about in terms of anchor tooths and being able to, you know, use if you were using dentures and things like that. So it really is at risk of you, even when it comes to doing a basic human need, which is eating food.
Yes, I have a partial denture on the top, and it's anchored to one of my own teeth. Now, that tooth is coming loose now. So when that comes loose, falls out, I won't be able to use my denture. In other words, I'll have no teeth whatsoever.
Well, Tom,
this is the problem.
Yeah, Tom, you're not the only listener who's gotten contact. And as I said, that is the response from the Irish Dental Association. And we have had them on the station a few times before. And hopefully we will get a response from the HSE. But if any listener out there is looking for more information or has a query or a complaint in particular, do get in touch with us. It's 0833 97 97 97. And the number here is 045 898 999. Tom Doniker, listener in Naas, hopefully we will get to the bottom of this for you, and we wish you all the best, and thank you for joining us.
Right, thank you very much.
As I mentioned earlier on in the programme, news breaking this morning that the founder of the Progressive Democrats, Des O'Malley, has passed away at the age of 82. And to discuss this and his life in politics very briefly is John Downing. He's the political correspondent with the Irish Independent. John, good morning to you.
Hello, Owen.
And thanks for taking the call this morning. I suppose, look, very sad news coming out from the political world here in Ireland. Des O'Malley, he had a decorated political career, and not without controversy either, John.
Sure, he was a huge figure in Irish politics across 4 decades. A very controversial figure. Strong member of several Fianna Fáil governments. He later broke with Fianna Fáil, established the Progressive Democrats. He was appointed first to government in 1970 at the outbreak of the arms crisis, which saw the departure of two Fianna Fáil heavy hitters, Neil Blaney and Charlie Haughey, who were subsequently tried and acquitted for arms importation charges. He was a hardline, O'Malley was a hardline Minister for Justice. It was just the explosion of violence in the north. He introduced very tough anti-terror laws, and he required round-the-clock guards, armed guards of protection for a long period. His tussles with Charlie Haughey were the stuff of legend. Mm. They led to Charlie Haughey having him expelled from the entire Fianna Fáil organisation eventually, and the establishment of the PDs, who, as the Progressive Democrats were known. The Progressive Democrats never had huge Dáil numbers, but they had enough to make to have a lot of influence on Irish politics. The other amazing thing that happened was, despite him having such enmity with Haughey, and despite him being the breakaway party founded because of Haughey's Fianna Fáil, they actually shared government, which was a first for Fianna Fáil ever in its history, from June 1989 onwards. And the PDs went on to be a force in government for a very long time, despite their small numbers.
Yeah, he served as a TD for the Limerick East constituency, I'm pretty sure. And
yes.
I just want to touch on that opposition to Charlie Haughey as well, because a lot of people will remember 1982 for particular reasons. And of course, I had strong connections here to Kildare, because I think, didn't Charlie McCreevy mount a challenge to Charlie
yes.
Haughey?
Yes.
Of course, Charlie McCreevy, a Kildare TD.
Yes.
O'Malley was on holiday in Spain at the time, but he came back to put his own name forward as a possible alternative to Haughey. He and his supporters resigned from the cabinet. Haughey then won an open vote by 58 votes to 22, and then O'Malley became known as the Gang of 22 as well. So
yes.
that really was something that was huge at the time, that unrest between himself and Charlie Haughey.
It was. It was absolutely, and it polarised the Fianna Fáil party, and by extension, large swathes of the country. And you're right, Charlie McCreevy was never a fan of Charlie, or was never a supporter of Charlie Haughey. I mean, on a personal level, there are others, I'm not going to say that. But Charlie McCreevy's rise in government ranks only began when eventually Charlie Haughey left politics. Of course, the other point about Des O'Malley is from Limerick City. You're quite right. I represented Limerick City for from 1969 until 1968 until 2002. He was the nephew of the famous Donogh O'Malley, who gave the Irish nation free secondary education, a very visionary move from 1966 onwards, free secondary education, free school transport, a move that basically revolutionised the country. Donogh O'Malley died very suddenly in 1968. Des was a very reluctant recruit to politics initially. He was a successful solicitor in Limerick City, but he was very much a conviction politician. Wasn't always popular, was more respected than loved, but he brought considerable ability and conviction to Irish politics.
And if we move from 1982 to 1989, then, of course, Charlie Haughey called an early general election in the hope of winning an overall majority, but Fianna Fáil actually lost seats controversially, as did the Progressive Democrats, but they held the balance of power. And Charlie Haughey then failed to be elected Taoiseach, as the Progressive Democrats voted for another Kildare representative, Fine Gael's leader Alan Jukes. But all, I suppose, ended well in that year, John, because Charlie Haughey and Des O'Malley agreed a deal for government, and O'Malley was appointed Minister for Industry and Commerce. And as the name suggests, and we'll finish up on this point as a mark of a tribute to Des O'Malley, the Progressive Democrats, he was very progressive in his thinking, and particularly for the times.
Yes, he was, and he was also a man who was prepared to change his mind. The actual issue which led to the parting of the ways with Fianna Fáil was legislation being brought in on contraception, and Fianna Fáil were in opposition and they decided to oppose, and Des O'Malley abstained in the vote, May made a famous speech, I Stand by the Republic, but he said he was prepared to change his mind on issues of what were seen as issues of absolute Catholic morality, which pervaded Irish politics at the time. So yes, you are quite right. He was somebody who left a huge mark on Irish politics, a very different kind of politician, and a man who attracted controversy frequently, very reluctantly, but he was pretty fearless.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, political correspondent with the Irish Independent, John Downing, many thanks for joining us on the programme this morning, John, to reflect that news and react to it. That's just breaking. Des O'Malley, founder of the Progressive Democrats, passing away at the age of 82, and he was a very, very big name in Irish politics, particularly in the 70s and 80s, and may he rest in peace.
Crime Watch on KFM.
With Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park, Naas. We keep it secure and safe 24 hours a day. 045 408 300.
And it's that time of the week where we take a look at what's been happening around the county in terms of crime. And joining us this week is Garda Deirdre Fanning of Naas Garda Station. Good morning to you, Deirdre.
Good morning.
It seems as though it was a week of burglaries, unfortunately, and we'll be starting off on Monday. What happened there in Selbridge and Maynooth?
Let me see now. On Monday, there was a burglary in Maynooth at the Clune Even Estate, Monday the 19th. Entry was great gained into this house through the front door, and a car was taken. This car is a 171KE302. It's a Nissan Qashqai. It was brown in colour. So that happened at about 3:15 a.m. In the Clune Even Estate. So I just, people on these hot summer nights might, you know, be awake at night or hear things. If anybody heard anything unusual at that hour of the morning, if they could contact Maynooth Garda Station.
What about Maynooth then? Was there another burglary there in Maynooth?
Yeah, there was a burglary kind of not too long before that in another estate in Maynooth. Three raiders entered the home in the Kingsbury estate. Now, they didn't get anything. They ran from the house when they became aware of the homeowner's presence. And they can only be best described as three youths dressed in black with hoods up. And when they left this house, they ran to the top of the cul-de-sac in the estate. That's Kingsbury in Maynooth. And there was no further information after this as regards direction of travel or cars used. And on Tuesday morning, in the early hours of Tuesday morning at 3:30 a.m., a burglary occurred in a house in Thornhill Gardens in Selbridge. The homeowner's front door had been forced open, and the keys of two cars were obtained in this house, and the following two vehicles were stolen. The first vehicle is a 171D18415, a black BMW 420. And the second vehicle is a 12KE5925 grey Mercedes. If these vehicles, people might, you know, sometimes vehicles get parked up and moved then at a later stage, if anybody has noticed these vehicles, to ring them in straight away.
There was also a burglary then on Tuesday in Black Trench, Deirdre.
Yeah, in Black Trench. It was at some stage between 7:30 a.m. and in the evening time the owner returned. But following inquiries in the area after the burglary, it's believed it happened between mid-morning and the afternoon. So that was in the Black Trench area there in Newbridge. And the alarm was pulled off the wall of this house and the back door window was smashed. There was a quantity of cash and jewellery taken from this home. There was, following inquiries as well, there was reports of sightings of a black Audi and a blue Hiace in the area between kind of mid-morning and lunchtime. So if anybody in that area has CCTV footage on their gateways or anything like that, if they could check, it would be very helpful.
And then finally, there was, in the early hours of this morning, there was a car theft in Athy also. So a number of car thefts over the last week, Deirdre, and perhaps that might be, you know, people who are leaving the car unlocked when they're going in to visit people or whatever, but also it seems as though burglars are getting in and obtaining the keys of the cars.
Yeah, look, I suppose there's different advice on whether you should, you know, kind of hide the keys or leave the keys. You probably should maybe secure the keys and turn the alarm on at night. I know people don't particularly like to do that sometimes because they fear if the alarm goes off in the night, it'll be very frightening. but it's just an added layer of security for the homeowner. But at 3 o'clock this morning in St. Joseph Terrace in Athy, the car actually wasn't taken, but the car owner disturbed four males cutting something from the car, which was most likely they were going for the catalytic converter. These tend to be targeted usually in car parks, but sometimes outside the owner's homes as well. But just as well, on a note of success rather than just constant reports, there was an apprehension in Kilcullen this day last week. There was a male arrested after carrying out four burglaries in the town, and some of the injured parties hadn't even realised these burglaries had occurred yet. So that man was arrested and questioned and is currently in custody on those matters.
Some good policing work done there out in Kilcullen, and that is Garda Deirdre Fanning with those crimes. Any information that you may have on any of the issues raised by Deirdre, get in touch with your local Garda station. As always, many thanks for that, Deirdre of Naas Garda
Thank
Station.
You.
Good morning to you.
Crime Watch on KFM.
With Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park, Naas, PSA licensed, 045 408 300 or manguardplus.ie.
All right, just to catch up then on a couple of the messages, wishing Clifford Dean a very happy birthday. That comes in from all his family and friends, and also from Neville Hendy. Hopefully you have a great day, Clifford. Also, Des Mulhare got in touch in relation to these digital COVID certs as well, saying that his wife had an issue with being on the line, the free phone line, for over 50 minutes. And I'll give that out to you again. But as I said, I know it is kind of frustrating because it's uncharted territory for us with these COVID certs. We have a lot of questions about them, but you have to remember that so does everybody in the country have so many questions, and that's why the phone lines are kind of backed up. The number is 1800 807 008, and also the advice is, if you haven't received your digital COVID cert yet in the post or by email, don't be worrying, because it is going to come out, and there is just a delay because of the sheer volume of certs they're trying to send out. But we will keep you abreast of any information that we get here on Kildare Today. After the break, we'll be announcing the winner of our OPW Family Heritage Card, which will give you access to 45 heritage sites right around the country. Yeah, very, very busy programme. The sun is shining, which is good news. I'm off to get a 99 or an old chalk ice or something now for the afternoon, and hopefully you get to get out and enjoy the sun as well. Just before we go, to give the winner of the OPW Family Heritage Card for this morning, it's Rosemary Lamb in Kilteel. So congratulations to you, Rosemary. We'll be in contact with you after the programme to let you know what you have to do from here. But I suppose it's just as easy to tell you over the radio, and also to tell Nuala Kearney, who won on Monday, that the vouchers are here. The OPW cards are here in the M7 Business Park in the KFM Broadcast Centre. So whenever you can, call over to us, and we'll be able to give them out to you, and we'll have another Family Heritage Card to give away on Friday morning's programme, and you can get more information on those cards on heritageweek.ie. That is just about it from me on the programme this morning. Thanks indeed for your company at home, for all the messages that you sent in,